This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You've caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You've caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
Well, hello, everybody.
This is Making
Hal?
Biblical
and
Family
Melanie.
Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Biblical Family Life Practical, where we are taking biblical principles and applying them to the 21st century Christian family. One of the things that we hear about a lot, and we hear about it on Facebook, and people ask us at conferences, and sometimes we look at each other and ask ourselves this too, and that is, how do we motivate these kids? What do we need to do to get them off their duffs and get them going, doing something useful, doing something productive?
That's challenging sometimes, Al.
Well, yeah.
You know, I think that we are all have a tendency toward laziness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was part of the curse.
Right. It was part of the curse on to Adam that his work would now be unproductive, that it would produce thorns and thistles and briars, and he would sweat, and it would become laborious and difficult and ultimately consume him. And I think, yeah, we can only expect that it's going to be something that we, you know, maybe we try to shirk it off a little bit. Maybe we don't, we're not as enthusiastic about our work as we ought to be. And yet work's got to be done.
Oh, it's got to be done. The schoolwork's got to be done. The chores have got to be done. And somehow we've got to get our kids to do it. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. What are some different ways that you can motivate your kids to get their schoolwork done, to get their chores done, to get their work done?
Yeah, I think right off the bat, we need to point out that motivation is not necessarily a punishment. I think by the time we get to ask this question, usually we're fed up and frustrated, and
True.
We're thinking, how can I apply some compulsion to this child and force them to do something that, you know, how can I shake them out of their lethargy? But really and truly, motivation is a positive thing, too.
You know, sometimes punishment is needed. But I think it's seldom as often as we think when it comes to motivating to do work. Because I really think that the punishment should only be used when we're talking about work, motivation to do work, when they are defiant. I'm not going to do it. You know, you've got to punish that. You've got to deal with that right away.
Well, but you know, if you're dealing with defiance, then it's not a matter of dealing with laziness. It's a matter of disobedience.
Right.
It's a matter of rebellion. And the fact they've expressed it as reluctance to do the work, to take care of responsibilities, that's secondary.
I think more often, if maybe even most often, they don't even know where to start. They look at the job, and the job seems too big. And so they wonder, where do I even start? How do I even get started on this? Hey, I feel that way myself sometimes. I look mm-hmm. at something in our house that we need to take care of, a room that's gotten out of control, and I just think, oh, my Lord, it's too big. Where do I even start?
And so if you look at your child, your son or daughter, and they have a responsibility that they're dragging their feet about, that they don't seem to be making headway, maybe it's because they don't know which direction to go to begin with.
What are some ways we can help them with that?
Well, one old tried and true method is to come alongside them and work with them.
You know, that's one of the last things I generally try, but it's always one of the most effective because it lifts their spirits. You know, many hands make light work.
Yeah.
It's going to be done more quickly. But I think more importantly, it's a way that we can model how to do the job for our children. We can show them how to effectively and quickly get the job done. You know, some jobs can be done in 20 minutes, or you can drag it out and make it 2 hours. And when we work beside our kids, we can show them how to do it effectively and quickly, mm-hmm. get them engaged in doing it with us, which, you know, if it goes quickly, it's more interesting, it's more fun. And, you know, working alongside somebody is a great way to get to know them,
mm-hmm.
to talk, to hear about their character. It doesn't seem as confrontational as, you know, just let's have a talk. It's more casual. It makes it easier to bring up those things you need to talk to your kids about.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay, so maybe that's the first thing is, you know, why are they not getting going? What is it that's preventing them from getting started and being productive? And maybe the first thing to ask yourself is, do they even know what they should be productive with? How should they be productive? How should they go about this exercise?
Well, you know, one thing that I've done is give them a place to start. For example, if the job seems too big,
mm-hmm.
okay, pick up the books.
Right.
Or even just pick up 10 books.
Mm-hmm.
You give them a child-sized chunk of a job,
mm-hmm.
and then when they've done that, you can give them more.
Well, now, it seems like it was Don Haslett in one of his books talked about the way that the volunteers clean up at Mount Vernon, at George
mm-hmm.
Washington's home. He said that the technique that they train their people to do is to start at the doorway and to clean around the room, just to start facing the doorway and start right there, and then clean from the doorway, go clockwise around the room or whatever, and just whatever you run into, clean it, put it away, throw it away, put it where it belongs, whatever it is. And, you know, again, that's a system. That's showing that this is where you start, and this is your first step, and then you go from there. And so sometimes giving them a better technique is a good way to break down the barrier.
And one of the things I've done is to break it down even further, especially with young children, say, okay, pick up 10 books or 10 toys.
Right.
And they come back and say, okay, pick up 9 books. Okay, pick up 8 books.
And so they say, oh, eventually I get to a point where I stop picking up books.
That's right.
They have a goal there. They have an end, you know, something, a destination.
Meanwhile, they picked up a lot of books or toys.
Yes, that is true.
It's amazing how fast they can pick it up and they can get cleaned up when they have doable chunks of the jobs.
Okay. So what are some other things that play into here? That's about technique. That's about getting over the problems of I don't know where to start. You know, a thing I have to deal with is dread.
Oh, me too.
I tend to procrastinate, and if it's something unpleasant or something I really just don't care, you know, that I'm not going to enjoy doing, I put it aside, and after a while, it grows horns and fangs and big scaly wings, and it's a terrible monster that I can't bear to look at any longer.
Oh, let's not even talk about that. That's what I've been doing all evening, Hal.
Hmm.
I needed to do the finances this evening, and I have sat here and wasted time and goofed off and avoided it until it was time for us to do this because of the dread. What's the best thing to do when you face dread?
Just do it. Press on.
Well, I remember years ago, one of these time management gurus
mm-hmm.
said, only handle things once.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets in your hand, just do it. Because if you don't, you'll put it aside, and then you'll think about it, and then you'll stew about it, and you'll pick it up, and then you'll decide what to do. And you can waste 10 times the amount of time it would take to deal with it as it does. I do that about phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I hate making phone calls. If I have a phone call to make, I'll put it off. I'll write myself a note, and I'll put it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll think about doing it, and I'll get interrupted, and I'll think about doing it some more. And pretty soon, the end of the day comes, it's the end of business hours, it's too late to call them. I have not only not called them, but I've wasted way too long thinking about it today.
You know, I read a book several years ago when I was in corporate life by a man named David Allen, and the book was called Getting Things Done. And his particular technique, he said, as soon as you pick something up from your inbox, and your inbox may be a literal box on a literal desk, or it may be just,
Your email inbox.
Your email, or just however people come to you with a task or a request or whatever. He said, whenever you pick something up, consider right then, can I deal with this in 2 minutes? Now, that was a number he chose. It may be five or whatever. But he just said, can I deal with this in 2 minutes? If I can deal with it in 2 minutes or less, just do it. Just take 2 minutes, be done, get it out of the way.
Ouch.
If you can't do it in 2 minutes, then decide, should somebody else do it, in which case give it to them? Or should it be done at all? If not, throw it away. Or if it needs to be done but it's going to take more than 2 minutes, then decide when you're going to do it.
Yeah, I need to do that, Hal.
And, you know, he had an elaborate system for doing this. And, you know, a lot of these things have, you know, very detailed systems. And I find I do better with attitudes. I do better if I just remember as a rule of thumb, hey, deal with it now or else decide when you're going to deal with it.
You know, Hal, you taught me this.
What?
To think of it as eating a live frog.
Oh, yeah, the frog illustration.
Because, you know, if you eat a live frog in the morning, the day just gets better from there.
I have many times opened up my list of things to do in the morning and thought to myself, where is the frog on this list? What's the thing that I wish would just go away?
And let's just do it.
That I just, yeah, and just let me do that very first thing. And then, you know, the other stuff is going to get done because you enjoy the other stuff.
It's a great thing to teach your kids to eat the live frog first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do the awful task first, and then everything gets easier and better after that.
Now, you know, another thing that I found helpful with myself is for the things that I dread and I put them off forever, and sometimes literally I never come back to them. One time, yeah, I think there's one recurring task that really irritates me, and just to kind of keep myself accountable, I timed it one time. Well, how long does it take me to do this? And I realized, you know what, it only takes me literally 2 minutes to do this one thing, which I need to be doing.
Wow.
So why, you know, why should I put it off and dread it and shirk it and not do it and all when in 2 minutes it can be done and everything's happy and I can go on about my business? And that has been a little mild rebuke to me that has helped me to be more consistent with that kind of thing. You know, and so that's another thing is get with your young person and say, hey, let's think about this realistically. I'm not trying to punish you. I'm trying to help you be a better and a more efficient, more effective person to say, well, okay, you are dreading this and putting it off. But, you know, if you stop what you're doing for 3 minutes, you could take the trash out and put a new bag in the trash can. And mama would be happy and the job would be done. And you could go back to whatever you were doing.
You know, that brings up another issue, Hal. We need to be careful about respecting our kids as people. Because
why?
Because they are people.
They're kids.
They're people.
Kids are people.
Yes, they are.
Kids are people.
They are people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get really annoyed when I ask our guys to do something that they don't do it right away. Because that means I've got to keep thinking about it until they do it.
Well, you've been sitting there thinking about it, thinking, boy, it would be really good if they did this. I really wish somebody would do this. It would be very, very helpful if somebody would get this done. And then you ask somebody to do it and they don't jump right up. Now you've been thinking about it for 10 minutes.
Right.
They just heard about it and they don't have urgency over it yet. Yeah, and I know that. Well, what do you do about that? You're talking about respecting them as people.
Well, sometimes what I've been trying to do with our older kids especially is say, look, I need you to take care of the trash or this or that. And would you do that as soon as you finish what you're doing? Now, please don't go into another task because I don't want to have to think about this any longer than I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But would you take care of this as soon as you finish what you're doing? And that works pretty well. Sometimes they still forget and I get really annoyed again.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps them have a better attitude if I recognize that they've got things on their agenda too.
And even your young children, their agenda might be, finish building this house or finish drawing this picture, or I'm pretending something and I don't want to stop the story right now.
Right.
But yeah, to say, okay, I need you to do something, but I'm willing to wait until you're finished with what you're doing before I demand or expect that you, you know, run and do something for me.
Now let's talk about, though, the really challenging time for motivation. Let's talk about preteen years. Because
that's the challenging time for everything, isn't it?
Well, it seems to be. I get a lot of questions from mothers who say, what can I do about my child to motivate them to get to do what I ask them to do what they're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
They're 11 or they're 12. They're in those preteen years. They're full of hormones. I think the first thing is to recognize that the hormones have changed the way their brains work temporarily.
Yeah.
And they really can't focus. You know, the area that controls the executive functions, focus and short-term memory and priority setting, all those things you need to get things done,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work the same way during those years.
You know, I think we watch our children growing up, and we see them gaining height, and they get taller and taller and taller, and they never get shorter. They always get bigger until they're full grown, but their brains don't grow that way.
No, and we expect them to grow in maturity evenly.
Yeah, we expect as they've learned how to read, they've learned how to tie their shoes, they can, you know, they can do all these things, and we expect them just to get better and better as they go along. But in that middle, that early teen or preteen years, their brain is actually changing. So it is usually a true thing. If you ever look at your 12-year-old and think his 8-year-old brother can stay on task better than this 12-year-old.
He can. It's true.
And the answer is yes, he can. And when your 12-year-old was 8, he could have stayed on task better than he can now too.
And he will get better.
And when he's 15, he will be back on task.
Yeah, it drives me wild. I'll be really honest with you. It drives me wild.
Of course it does.
Because it happened the other day. I asked a child to go get me something. And they said, yes, ma'am, jumped up and left and came back without it. And when I said, where's my, I can't remember what it was.
You were asking for some water, I think. Yeah, so I had to bring you a cup of water.
Well, the other day it was scissors, and I had scissors
that
came back, and they had no clue. Not the faintest clue. I asked them for scissors. Even though they said, yes, ma'am, jumped
even
up.
Even they answered, yes, they looked at you, and they answered, and they made complete coherent sense.
The shades are up, but nobody's home.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
And so we've got to be careful not to deal with that as defiance. Forgetfulness is not defiance. And, you know, I had a long talk with a friend of mine who was ready to deal with her child over this. But forgetfulness is not defiance, and we can't deal with it like defiance. Is it annoying? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we deal with it? More supervision,
mm-hmm.
more accountability. Child, look at me. I
yep.
need you to go get the scissors. What
right.
did I ask you to do? To get you the scissors, Mom.
Yes.
Okay. Go straight to the scissors and come back.
Right.
But what do you do with a 3-year-old? It's sad, but it's true. At that age, they need it.
They need your help in that regard, and not, you know, not to be over angry or over irritated with them. Just recognizing that they have there's a period of weakness here, and yeah, if you give them an assignment and you expect them to do it, then you're going to need to inspect them even more so than you did a year or two earlier.
Yes,
just to see. Not to play got you, but just to make sure that they actually engaged, and that they actually got started to doing it.
And that means in school, they may need you to sit. They may need to sit near you,
right,
and be more supervised than they did for a while there. Timing them in competition helps motivation too, especially with boys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it took you 2 hours and 46 minutes to do your math yesterday. If you can do it faster than that, you can get a treat today.
Yes.
Our kids are very motivated by that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the treat is something extremely minor, a gummy bear, a piece of candy, they just like winning.
Yeah.
And also that competition can give them the little bit of stress they need to focus and stay on task.
It's funny how that works, but you're right that especially the guys seem to concentrate better if they're feeling a little bit of push.
Another thing to motivate them is give them the bigger picture. You know,
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you doing the chores today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you rotate the dishwasher, then that frees me up to do things that you can't do, like to nurse the baby, to teach your siblings, to counsel a mother on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do that, that is a gift to our family because it frees me up to do things.
Well,
you know, to be grateful.
Yeah,
to be grateful for what they do.
I was going to say, you're expressing appreciation. And that, I think, is something that we really fall short on. Because I remember hearing about one older saint that was kind of rebuking his adult son, because his adult son would thank his grandkids when they did a job for him. You know, when he sent them to cut the grass or sent them to fold the laundry or whatever it was, when they did the job, their father would thank them. And the grandfather thought, well, that's lovely. I mean, you don't need to thank them. It's their duty. They're just doing what they're supposed to.
Well, it is their duty, and they're doing what they're supposed to. But I know I love being thanked for doing my duty.
And so do I. I think everybody does. And I think, again, it's a recognition that I'm talking to another human being who has other things that they would desire to do, and yet they're putting aside their personal desires of the moment in order to do this task that I've assigned them or asked them to take care of. So it is a reasonable thing, and I think it's a gracious thing to you know, just say, hey, thank you so much for taking care of that. I appreciate it. Because I always, you know, I look at them doing things like this, and I think to myself, because they did that task, I don't have to put away what I'm doing and go take care of it myself.
Yes.
And that frees me up to concentrate on what I'm doing.
You know, another part of giving them the big picture is letting them know why they're doing what they're doing. Because there comes a point, I think, in every kid's life that's like, why do I have to do this math? And I think sitting down and saying, okay, you know, what do you want to do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's something silly, help them to find out what they would need to know to do that for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize that, you know, you're doing this math, because that's part of learning how to be a fireman. That's part of learning how to be a rocket scientist or a game programmer
or whatever.
You know, goal they have at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you've got a little girl who just wants to be a homeschool mom, you've got to learn this so you can teach your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think giving them that bigger picture of why they have to do the work. Because frankly, our boys don't care if the math is done until they get the bigger picture. And they certainly don't care if the laundry or the dishes are done.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care whether they're clean or not. But when they understand that doing those chores is a part of their contribution to the family,
mm-hmm.
that they're appreciated, and it frees us up to do important things, I think it helps motivate them.
Well, you know, I think if you have a healthy relationship, even if you have very strict or very traditional gender roles in your marriage, I think if you have a healthy relationship, you know, the father, the husband, who may be the breadwinner, doesn't see that as his money, this is what I do and everybody serves me, but rather to say, this is part of how I serve the family by earning money that we use for other things. And my wife, who has a traditional stay-at-home lifestyle, and she's teaching the children or, you know, doing the mom ministry, that's what she's contributing to our family. And I can't do that, and she can't do the job that I'm trained to do. And the two of us working together are able to do so much more with our family than either one of us as individuals. And so the same kind of thing, you know, with our children, to say, hey, you know, maybe you're not getting paid for this. Maybe you're not earning money, but you are a key contributor to our family's life.
Now, you're moving into an area I really want to make sure we cover before we go, Hal.
And that is?
And it's the power of praise that I think genuine praise of our kids, and this is really hard when they're in those stinky years where they're not doing much right sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but that's when they really need it.
Because that encourages them to, the thing that you praise is the thing that you want to get more of.
Right, so you look for anything they're doing right in the area you're concerned about, and you praise it.
Yeah.
You know, son, you were very diligent to sit down and do your math here before I even asked you to. I'm so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be the only time you did it in the past 2 months without mm-hmm. you nagging him. But be sure you praise it when he does, because I think people crave praise.
Mm-hmm.
And especially during those years when they're getting in trouble constantly,
mm-hmm.
when Satan is whispering to them,
yeah,
you're no good, nobody likes you, nobody understands you, nobody cares about you, that when you show them that you do like them, not just love them. They know you love them,
yeah.
but that you like them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think they'll do all kinds of things to earn more of that.
And the praise is not, you know, everybody gets a star because we're all special.
No.
But it's specific, and it's to say, son, I really appreciate you cleaning up the front yard. I mean, that really needed to be done, and it looks so much better. Thank you very much. That's all it is. You know, it's not gushy saying, you're the most awesomest, wonderfulest yard cleaner ever, but just to say, I see that you did something, you accomplished something,
yeah.
you moved our family along on its mission.
It's not gushy or flattery. It's authentic. It's you name what they've done, preferably a virtue they've shown,
yeah.
and explain how they showed that virtue and express your appreciation. And I think that's an extremely powerful way to motivate kids.
Yeah.
And especially at the time when you think you can't think of anything.
Well, and if you're being specific, I mean, that makes it easier because you might be thinking, this is a troublesome child. Right now, I am not especially on good terms with this child. But if I can look and say, however, she did do a nice job putting away the groceries.
Yeah.
Or
then you say, you know what? You are so, that was so neat and orderly of you.
Mm-hmm.
You put those groceries away in just the right place and so quickly. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's just like any other relationship. It's okay from time to time to just say, I love you. I think you're neat. I'm really proud of you. That's not specific, but it just expresses an emotion. But that needs to be balanced out really by more and more to say, hey, you did a good job doing this, or I like the character that you're showing by doing that.
Yeah.
Or I appreciate the fact that you responded when I needed you to do something. You know, that kind of specific appreciation reinforces that kind of behavior is desirable.
And it also makes them realize that they are able to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're not hopeless, that they're not no good, that, you know, that they're able to please their parents. It can be pretty tough during those years when, you know, you're losing your temper all the time, you're forgetful, you're distracted, it seems like nobody's happy with you.
You know, one last thing, we've just got a minute left here, but one last thing that I think to keep in mind too, sometimes the way to motivate them is to give them a challenge. Like, you know, especially with our young guys, if we wait for them to show all the fruits of responsibility before you give them responsibility,
it ain't gonna happen.
That thing will never bud. You gotta say, hey, I want you to try this. I'm going to give you a challenge and an assignment, and it's more than you've done before.
But I think you can do it.
I think you can do it. And, you know, our guys in particular will respond to that, sometimes with a little bit of fear.
Oh, our girls have too. You know, I remember the look in our daughter's face when she was about 9 or 10, and she had wanted, been begging me to let her cook something. And I said, yeah, I think you can handle that. You just come in here and ask me if you have any questions and just send her off to do it. And she did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was because you were willing to look forward to their success and say, I think you've grown enough. I think you've shown the maturity and the capability. Let's try it out. And I'm going to trust you enough to turn you loose to give it a shot.
And sometimes they make mistakes.
But.
Better for them to have tried and be motivated to give it a try than to not try at all, because that's the biggest mistake of all. Hal, we are out of time. We need to thank our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Covenant Eyes is the accountability software we use on all the internet-capable devices in our home, because the internet is one of the biggest blessings to your family and dangers to your family. And you need to protect your kids from that dangerous trap out there of internet porn. Please get something on every single internet-capable device in your home.
Mm-hmm.
You need to right now. You can try it free for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Go to
RaisingRealMen.com/safety. And that will take you to the affiliated link that will not only help you protect your family, but also help you to support this ministry. And you can support this ministry too by coming to our Patreon page.
Yes.
And you can become a monthly sponsor, a participant in the ongoing life of this ministry. Come to Patreon, patreon.com/Hal and Melanie, and find out all about it.
There's some cool insider benefits, too, just starting at $1.
Well, look, we appreciate you spending your time with us here because we know there's lots of other things you could be doing. And we appreciate you. We'll give you specific praise for that. So we hope that you'll join us again every Monday night, Lord willing. Or you can catch us on iTunes anytime or come out to calandmelanie.com/radio and check out the whole archive.
Thank you so much for joining us this week, y'all, and we'll see you next week.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.